Welcome back to THOP, the half hour of power with Beastchild, and today is Monday, so you get to start your week off with a nice recap of this past weekend's games in the NFL. Let's get right to it with Beastchild and the NFL Review Show. Get into the recap of all the hard-hitting action this weekend, let me give you the four ways to get in contact with the show. Send your emails to beastchild09@gmail.com. Add beastchild on Skype, BEASTCHILD09 on Skype. Or add the show on MySpace, myspace.com/the_half_hour_of_power. Or, of course, the almighty website, thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. Now let's get right into the gridiron with the recap from this past weekend's games. Yes, Beastchild is back in the house with THOP. I'm back. Today is Monday, October 22nd, 2007. And the reason I was gone, new equipment. Hopefully the show will be better quality with as far as sound quality goes. I'm still going to try to upgrade my microphone even from this. Trying to get a snowball maybe next year with when I get my new laptop. But we'll get into that when the time comes. But for now, we have to wrap up what happened in Week 7. Yes, Week 7 is already upon us. We are almost midway through the season, but I am going to tell you what went on, and we start in Buffalo, where the Buffalo Bills and the Baltimore Ravens take action. I picked the Ravens in this game, and let me tell you, I was wrong. Bills pull off the victory at home. They go 2-4, Ravens go to 4-3. Why did this happen? Trent Edwards, 153 through the air, and a pick. That pick, of course, went to the almighty Samari Roll. Over on the Ravens side, they had to play without Ray Lewis and, what was it, Steve McNair. And so that was, Kyle Bowler was played this whole game. Todd Heap also out. So, I am making excuses for my team, I have to admit. But they are having injury problems. Willis McGahee did get 114 on the ground and a touchdown. But the Ravens came up short in the end. They had a chance to come back and win this game. The whole first half was 3 Ryan Lindell field goals, so a 9-0 score at halftime for the Bills. Willis McGahee scores a 43-yard touchdown run. He just broke loose, took it to the house. That made the score 7-9. And so then Ryan Lindell kicks another field goal. Marshawn Lynch gets a touchdown. All of a sudden, 19-7. Ravens can get a Derek Mason 15-yard pass in the fourth quarter, but that's all they could do. They were held up on the last drive. They went for it on fourth down at around midfield, couldn't convert, and so that was the game, and, that's that. So, that was the Ravens, 14-19, the Ravens go down. Now we go to New Orleans, the South side, where, battle of the NFC South, the Falcons and the Saints. Would the Saints still be high off of that Sunday night victory in Seattle? Are they the team that we saw last year and were just struggling for the first four games? Is Atlanta a contender if they can get a constant quarterback back there? And can they compete for, with the other teams in the division, with the Buccaneers, with the Panthers? Let's find out. Saints come out in this game. They have something to prove. Drew Brees, 219 through the air, 2 touchdowns and a pick. And over on the other side, the Falcons were having some quarterback problems. Byron Leftwich got injured. Joey Harrington had to come in for him. It started off with a deep 37-yard pass to Devery Henderson. It was a bomb in the back of the end zone. And that was from Drew Brees. The rest of the first half scoring was all Falcons. Score at halftime, 13-7. Falcons actually led. Then Pierre Thomas, the undrafted rookie. The guy goes 24 yards, and it wasn't just broke free 24 yards. The guy got a little crack on the left tackle, broke a linebacker tackle up the middle, then he like juked out a safety or something and just went right in for the end, right into the end zone. It was a beautiful play. Morten Andersen then kicks a field goal for the Falcons. That gives them 16 points. Reggie Bush, a nice 4-yard touchdown reception, was on a screen play. He had to really force himself in there. And then on the 2-point conversion, he got a reverse. I liked what I saw. 22-16 final score. New Orleans gets the victory. They move to 2-4. All of a sudden, they're ahead of the Falcons. Falcons 1-6 in the division. Saints 2-4 on a 2-game winning streak. Looking good. Obviously, no Deuce McAllister, but their running game. Reggie Bush, 54 yards. Pierre Thomas, 28 yards. Drew Brees, 8 yards. Aaron Stecker, only 1 carry for 1 yard. But he comes in and he gets a lot of blocking in there for his team. Eric Johnson led the team in receiving with 54 yards. Over on the other side, Roddy White, 110 through the air and a touchdown, a long of 32, which was on a TD reception. No real running game for the Falcons, 28 by Warwick Dunn and 38 by Jarius Norwood. 30 of those 38 came on a 30-yard run, so Jarius Norwood not really getting it going. He's more of just a throw him out on the field, give him the ball, and hope that he breaks it loose, but this guy isn't really going to get you constant yards like you would want out of a running back. Byron Leftwich, 2 fumbles, 2 lost. That was a key stat in this game. The Saints got both of those, and that, you know, that ended up being the difference. One of those went for the Pierre Thomas touchdown. One of those went for the Reggie Bush touchdown, and, you know, obviously, they won by that much. And Roddy White, if you saw the replay, he did catch a pass, and if he hadn't stepped out of bounds, he would have had the touchdown. They were held to only a field goal on that drive. So, you know, basically he got the pass on the sideline, stepped out of bounds. If he had stayed in, they would have lost by less than that. So, that is the deal there. Now we go to Washington, a nice little battle here. Washington Redskins coming in. They are looking to catch up to maybe the Cowboys, challenge the Giants for first place in this division. And what would they do? Well, it was against the Arizona Cardinals, a team on the top of their division with the Seahawks. And, this was a pretty important game for both sides. Clint Portis, 2-yard touchdown run, start the game off. London Fletcher, the linebacker for the Redskins, gets a pick, takes it down the left sideline, and jumps in right behind 3 Redskins. He jumps into all of them, and they all fall in the end zone. And so that gives them 14 points. Anquan Boldin gets a 2-yard touchdown pass from Kurt Warner. The extra point is blocked. 14-6, the score at halftime, Redskins lead. In the third quarter, Clinton Portis, a 1-yard touchdown run. Clinton Portis really getting back into the flow of it, a lot like Kevin Jones, a couple guys that have had injury problems. But, that's good to see, and we'll get into that in the fantasy football show. But fourth quarter, it was all Cardinals, but it wasn't enough. Anquan Boldin did get a 10-yard touchdown reception, and Leonard Pope also got a 1-yard touchdown reception. The second one, the 2-point conversion was failed. They tried an Anquan Boldin as quarterback. They tried a little trick play, and Tim Rattay couldn't get the reception on that play, so they lose 21-19. They did get the onside kick, however. I think it was 1 of 3 or 4 games where the team actually got the onside kick. So the Cardinals got the onside kick. They were going up, and their kicker, Neil Rackers, missed the game-winning field goal, and that was the difference there. They lose 19-21. I picked the Redskins, and I was dead on. So that was pretty much the game. I mean, the Kurt Warner, 282 through the air. Jason Campbell, only 95. Edgerrin James, 83. Clinton Portis, only 43. So you can see Larry Fitzgerald right here, 97 yards. Randall L, only 54. He led the team. And so you can see, you know, I mean, the Cardinals led the game, but you see Leonard Fletcher got a touchdown reception off of a... He got a touchdown interception off of a pick, and so it was just the mistakes that killed them, and there's going to be ugly games. We see the Ravens winning a couple ugly games, and now they lost one. And we're going to get into a few other ugly games, if I may, but this one was ugly, but it was one-sided. It was the Giants and the 49ers, the 5-2 Giants against the 2-4 49ers, or I guess now those are the records, because the Giants won 33-15. Originally, I was going to make this my lock of the week. I ended up going with the Saints, and so that was my eliminator pick, and I got that one right. The Giants, how many sacks did they have in this game? I'll let you have a second to guess. And time's up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sacks. 5 sacks for the Giants. That is a nice defensive line. Maybe the best in the league. But, they scored a touchdown. The defensive line did Osio Mignore, the trifecta, as they say. He got the strip. Picked it up, took it back to the house, and I believe it was 75 yards, the fumble return in the third quarter. So let's get to the box score. First quarter, Monty Toomer, 4-yard touchdown pass. Arnaz Battle, a 17-yarder in the second quarter. Oh, that was the only first half touchdown for the San Francisco 49ers. Brandon Jacobs and a couple field goals made the halftime score 19-7. And second half, it was all Giants as well. I mean, the only touchdown that the Niners had was a Darryl Jackson reception with something like 16 seconds left. It was just basically getting a touchdown for pride there. But, I mean, the only other scoring that they had was a punt that was blocked in the end zone, and they count that as a safety. But Jeremy Shockey caught a touchdown pass. Osio Mignola got a 75-yard fumble return. Lawrence Tynes kicked a couple field goals. Brandon Jacobs got a 5-yard run. And Amani Toomer missed the well-dressed Amani Toomer. Got a 4-yard touchdown pass from Eli Manning. The kick was blocked. The kick failed the extra point on that one. But regardless, Eli Manning, 146 through the air, 2 touchdowns and 1 pick. 2 picks for Trent Dilfer and 2 touchdowns as well. 209 through the air, 23 for 38. The guy had to throw 38 times. 88 yards for Frank Gore, so he finally kind of, you know, got some yards on the ground. We haven't really seen him do that since the Rams game. I believe it was week 3. Arnaz Battle, 57. Ashley Lee, 52. And that was pretty much it. I mean, there wasn't too much in this game except the Giants dominated the whole time. Niners got a garbage touchdown at the end when the Giants weren't even trying. I don't even know why they did that. They were down by like something like 20 points. They could have just taken the knee and gone out. But they were driving. They got the touchdown. Now we go to a slaughter. Yes, the Slaughter Fest. And you know, I know, you know what game it was. It was the New England Patriots. It doesn't really even matter who they're playing. Is this the best team to ever set foot on a football field? The 07 Patriots. You are going to see your kids and you are going to tell them what, I don't know, if you already have kids, then you already have kids. But your kids are going to tell their kids that they were lucky they got to see the 07 Patriots, because they are like no other team. Dante Sellers gets a 30-yard touchdown pass in the first quarter. So does Kyle Brady. 14-0 after the first quarter. We still haven't seen the Dolphins. Cleo Lemon, a 4-yard touchdown run. Congratulations. Enjoy it, because that's all you're going to get until the fourth quarter. Okay, here are the touchdowns in the second quarter for the Patriots. Willie Anderson, 77-yard kick return. Willie Andrews. Then Randy Moss gets a 35 and a 50-yarder. Wes Welker gets a 14-yard touchdown reception. And and that was the last scoring until the fourth quarter. So what is the score at halftime? 42-7. It's halftime. 42-7. Why play the second half? You're the Miami Dolphins. You haven't won a game. The Patriots are undefeated. So anyway, the Patriots put their backup defense on the field in the fourth quarter. Patrick Cobbs gets a 1-yard touchdown run. Jason Taylor, a 36-yard interception return to the house. Nice play by him. Wes Welker catches another one just for fun. That gives the Patriots 49 points on the day. I was hoping they'd just kick a field goal just to put a 50-burger on them, but they didn't, because Jesse Chapman had a 7-yard touchdown run. 49-28, the final score. And Hobbs even brought this up to me. Oh, wow. Dolphins scored 28 points, 21 of those coming in the fourth quarter. And I said, okay, well, that, first of all, that's garbage time. Patriots are just playing their prevent defense. Then I found out they were playing their backups. So that, I mean, that's just ridiculous. That is actually pretty hilarious. Their offense only scored 21 points. I mean, you take a look at Jason Taylor getting an interception for a touchdown. Tom Brady did not throw that pick. It was Matt Castle, the backup. So he went 0-for-2 in the pick. Nice day for him, if you ask me. 138 through the air for Wes Welker. 122 through the air for Randy Moss. 2 touchdowns for each of them. Sellworth had 51. Tom Brady, 354, 6 touchdowns. No INTs. He threw more touchdowns than incomplete passes. 21 for 25. He threw 4 incomplete passes, 6 touchdowns. Cleo Lemon, on the other hand, he went 24 for 37. No touchdowns and a pick. So let's go to the next game. Okay, let us not talk about this anymore. I'll deal with analyzing the Patriots when they play the Colts a week from Sunday. But, yeah, I mean, we know the Patriots are the best team in the league. There's no arguing it. And I'll get to the Indianapolis Colts tomorrow after they're done playing the Jacksonville Jaguars. But now we go to a thrilling game. Maybe what ended up being the game of the week, the Houston Texans and the Tennessee Titans. What has become a pretty good rivalry in this division, because the Texans are actually a good team now. The Titans are, you know, kind of on their downfall. They're not in the Steve McNair, Derek Mason, you know, in their prime days with Eddie George. Now they're kind of in here with Vince Young. Vince Young didn't play in this game, but I'll tell you who did. Rob Baronis. It started off Rob Baronis. Kicked a 52-yarder to start the game. That was just, he was just warming up there. 52 yards. D'Amico Ryans, last year's Defensive Rookie of the Year, gets a 26-yard fumble return to the house on a forced fumble by him. Then Rob Baronis kicks another one just for fun. So, after the first quarter, it's 7-6 Houston lead. It was all Titans in the second quarter. Rob Baronis kicks a 21-yarder. Lindell runs it in. Rob Baronis kicks two more field goals in the first half. That gives him four in the first half. He needs three more to tie the record. And, well, I mean, obviously he's not going to tie the record because he's not going to get three. So, at halftime, the score is 22-7, Titans lead. And, I don't know, I mean, it's not looking too good for the Texans. They are at home at Reliance Stadium, but they come out in the third quarter, and they do nothing because the Titans get a Rob Baronis 43-yarder and a Chris Henry 4-yard touchdown run. Okay, now it's 32-7 going into the fourth quarter. Where is Sage Rosenfels in his Titans? Yes, Sage Rosenfels playing in place of the injured Matt Schwab. He got injured earlier in this game, and he is not looking too good. He would end the day with 3 interceptions, but we go to the fourth quarter. I mean, it's not inconceivable that the Texans will win this game, but let's just go into it. David Anderson gets a 7-yard touchdown pass from Sage Rosenfels. Oh, what's this? They're coming back. Or I don't know if they're coming back, but now they might be after 6-yard reception from Kevin Walter. And guess what? Rob Baronis comes in. Peace! 7 field goals on the day after a 29-yarder. He ties the NFL record. Peace to you, my friends. Holler at a player if you see him in the streets, even if he's a kicker. And then Jeb Putzier gets a 7-yard touchdown reception from Sage Rosenfels. All of a sudden, the Texans coming in. What's going on? They were down 32-7. Now they are 6 away from tying the game. 6 points. So, drops back. Peace! 53-yard deep bomb to Andre Davis. 53 yards for the touchdown. He dives in single coverage. He dives into the end zone with a nice catch. 53 yards, Andre Davis. Now, with 57 seconds left on the clock, Mr. Kerry Collins is down by a point on the road, and he has to drive 69 yards to set up Rob Baronis. Does he do it? Well, he goes down, you know, dink donk, finds a pass. What's this? He gets there. He gets in range, 29-yard field goal. Will Rob Baronis hit it? Yes, he will. 38-36, the final score, Tennessee Titans. Game ball goes to Rob Baronis. Game fall, I don't know who he goes to. I just wanted to get a nice little rhyme there, nice contradiction. But 2 interceptions for Nick Harter, 1 for Keith Bullock. And once again, we saw D'Amico Ryans make his showing. The only touchdowns in this game before the fourth quarter was by D'Amico Ryans. The Texans really weren't in this game until that beautiful comeback. 29 fourth quarter points, and that was the game, a beautiful play by Kerry Collins. So now we'll go to Detroit, where the Buccaneers and the Lions quickly face the time constraints on this show. So, if I want to make this the half hour of power, you gotta make it half an hour. Here we go, boys. Detroit Lions and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Final score here, 23-16. John Kitna, 147 through the air. Kevin Jones gets back on the field. A nice return by him. The guy gets, what was it, 37 yards for him. And, you know, a nice showing for Kevin Jones. Over on the other side, Ernest Graham also had a good day. 99 yards. If you got one more of the century mark, one more point in fantasy. But Ike Hilliard, oh, that was receiving, by the way. Sorry, Ernest Graham, 99 yards receiving, 92 on the ground. He had 13 receptions, amazing. And Ike Hilliard, 92 through the air. Joey Galloway did show up, 46 for him. On a nice reverse, Calvin Johnson gets 32 yards on the ground. It was a nice reverse. It was for a touchdown. And that was the, what was it? That was in the fourth quarter. And that was what pretty much put the game out of reach for the Buccaneers. They did. The Buccaneers had 2 long drives. One of them was early in the game where they fumbled on the handoff or there was some miscommunication, whatever, and the Detroit Lions jumped on it. They did get an onside kick, but, you know, they had to get two possessions at the end, and they couldn't get the second onside kick. So the Lions win it 23-16. A nice day for both teams, but the Lions come out on top at home. Lions, good team. They have already surpassed their win total from last year. On the other hand, the Buccaneers, I mean, they're good, but you gotta win these games. You gotta win road games if you're gonna be good. And now to the Oakland Raiders and the Kansas City Chiefs. A game of returns. The return of Priest Holmes, and would it be the return of the Oakland Raiders? We will find out. We go to Oakland. It was the black hole. It was sold out, so it was televised, unfortunately. I have to watch these stupid Niners-Raiders games here in the Bay Area, but the only first half scoring was a Dave Rayner field goal in each quarter, and 6-0 the halftime score. Not too interesting if you ask me, but we did see Priest Holmes in the first quarter. He ended the game with 4 attempts for 9 yards. Not too good, but he did have 1 reception for negative 6 yards, so he does have something to look forward to next week. But Larry Johnson did throw an incomplete pass in this game. Good for him. But we go to the third quarter. Ronald Curry got a 29-yard touchdown pass. Larry Johnson got a 1-yard touchdown run. The two-point conversion was failed. Sebastian Janikowski kicks a 37-yarder to only lose the game 12-10. A good day for the Raiders, but they lose. The Chiefs get the victory on the road. I was right about this game. And so, trust me, if you didn't see this game, you didn't miss much. It isn't much more than I expected, and, I mean, it's Chiefs-Raiders, what can I say? Big rivalry, ugly game. That's what you get out of these two teams. You're not going to see too much fireworks. Heward, 177. Culpepper, 228. A touchdown and a pick. 0 touchdowns and 1 pick for Heward. And on the ground, Larry Johnson, 112. He did break free. Lamont Jordan, 29 yards on the ground, Dominic Rhodes 21, Culpepper had 4, Justin Fargus had 1. What is this rushing game? You gotta get some yards if you wanna win the game. A 59-yard reception for Joey Porter was the only reception he had, and it was enough to lead the team. So, 12-10 final score in Oakland. Kansas City Chiefs win with the lowest score total of the week. To Ohio we go, where the Jets face the Bengals. The Bengals, heavy favorites in this game. Everyone picking the Bengals. I saw maybe 1, maybe 2 people pick the Jets in the upset. But the Jets started off on top, you know, basically in charge of this game. And would that continue? Chad Pennington trying to keep his job, trying to keep a hold of his situation there in front of Kellen Clemens and Marvin Lewis. Is he on the hot seat? I did hear some debate about that last week. But Laverne Scholes, a deep 57-yard catch. Or it wasn't that deep, but it was the run after the catch that gave him the touchdown. 57 yards. Chad Pennington got the score on that one. And Shane Graham kicks a 20-yarder. Mike Nugent, a couple field goals. Kenny Watson, a touchdown. Laverne Scholes, another touchdown. The halftime score, 20-10. Jets lead. So, Jets on top. I'm looking at the scoreboard. I am like, what is going on in this game? And so, Mike Nugent kicks another field goal, 23-10. TJ Houshmandzadeh finally gets in the end zone. He has had a touchdown in each game. So then, the Bengals, you know, kind of getting in the groove. Kenny Watson, 2 more touchdowns. He ended up with a nice game, 3 touchdowns total for him. And then, what pretty much put the game away, Jonathan Joseph, a 42-yard interception return. Now, what was a terrible pass by Chad Pennington? I don't know what he was thinking. And Jericho Cotri did get a touchdown pass, 32-yarder, and the Leon Washington trick play pass to Chad Pennington for the two-point conversion. But final score, 38-31, Bengals win, and the Bengals advance to 2-4. Still terrible, but, you know, they're the Bengals. 1-6 for the Jets, and these teams, you know, I guess, I don't know if anybody really got saved. Chad Pennington did throw 3 touchdown passes, 272, a pick. Carson Palmer, 226 through the air, a touchdown and a pick. So, Bengals win, Jets lose. Now we go to the next game. Seattle, Washington with a 12th man and St. Louis Rams coming in. Are they the greatest show on turf? Well, they're winless coming into this game, but would the Seattle lose to winless teams in back-to-back weeks? Last week we saw them against the Saints. This week, against the Seahawks. Or what am I saying? Against the Rams. Okay. I'm on track. Will Heller gets a touchdown pass from Matt Hasselbeck to start the game off. Jeff Wilkins kicks a field goal. Josh Brown kicks a field goal. At halftime, 10-3, Seahawks lead. I picked the Rams in the upset and have a preview show because I was getting new equipment. Jeff Wilkins and Josh Brown have a field goal battle in this game. Nate Burleson gets a 91-yard kickoff return to the house, the opening kick of the second half. And then another Will Heller touchdown, another Josh Brown field goal, 33-6 the final score. Seattle dominates, and St. Louis Rams. They haven't scored a touchdown in quite a while. Matt Hasselbeck, 195 through the air, 2 touchdowns a pick. Mark Bulger, 0 touchdowns, 3 INTs. Not too good for him. One of them to Marcus Trufant, a beautiful catch. One of them to Julius Peterson, a beautiful catch. One of them to Grant, that was a nice catch. 4 sacks for the defensive tackle, Tap. And that was so a lot of Mark Bulger on the ground. A lot of dirt on his uniform. He threw 40 times, only completed 21. So now we go to Philadelphia, quickly, where the Chicago Bears pull off a thriller victory. They had to go 97 yards after a coffin punt, a corner coffin punt. They had to go 97 yards, and they did it with no timeouts. They win the game 19-16 on the road in Philadelphia, a tough place to play, even if you're an Eagle. David Akers and Robbie Gould went at it, all field goals, until the fourth quarter. The last 2 scores were touchdowns. But until that point, it was 12-9 in this game. Robbie Gould even missed one, so, you know, it could have been 15-9. But Matt Schoble gets a 13-yard pass from Donovan McNabb. This game looks over, but Devin Hester, the Windy City Flyer, gets involved in the game-winning drive. So does Musa Muhammad, who gets the 15-yard touchdown reception back of the end zone, Brian Greasy, and it's with 9 seconds left. That seals the deal for the Chicago Bears. They win 19-16 on the road. Good victory for them. I picked the Eagles, as did most everybody. But Brown Westbrook, 79 on the ground. Cedric Benson, 46. Adrian Peterson, 21. So that was that. Now we go to the other Adrian Peterson, Minnesota against Dallas. Dallas hasn't yet allowed a 100-yard rusher. Would Adrian Peterson be the first? He very well has the potential to do so. But he would not, I have to say. He didn't even finish the game with, over 80 yards. He did have a 20-yard touchdown run in the first quarter, as did Terrell Owens on a 5-yard touchdown catch. Cedric Griffin, a 50-yard fumble return to the house. And the halftime score, 14-7, Minnesota lead. But Minnesota would not score in the second half. Marion Barber got a touchdown. Pat Wilkins, a 68-yard return on, I believe it was a blocked field goal, or it was something. But it was not good for the Vikings on special teams. Nick Folk also kicked a 45-yarder. 24-14, the final score there. Adrian Peterson only finished today 63 yards on 12 attempts. So good average, but he didn't get over 100. Marion Barber, 96 yards, a touchdown. Tony Romo, 277. 31 for 39, a very good percentage for him. Now we go to Denver, where the Broncos face the Steelers. Sunday Night Football, everyone picking the Steelers in this game, an interesting game. Steelers and Broncos in Denver, and Denver with the last-ranked defense, run defense in the NFL. Steelers are the best defense in the NFL, and guess what the Steelers do? They come out passing. Both teams score on their opening drive, so 7-7 at the end of the first quarter. And then Cecil Sapp, a 1-yard touchdown run, and Tim Crowder, the defensive end, gets a 50-yard fumble return to the house off of a sack, and a couple scores by each team, or 1 score by each team in the third quarter. Now in the fourth quarter, we have the Steelers scoring 14 points to come back, but Jason Elam kicks another game winner. 1:10 left on the clock. Jay Cutler, the second-year guy, drives his team back, and Jason Elam hits a 49-yarder to win the game. And yes, the Broncos have 3 wins, all 3 coming off the foot of Jason Elam. So congratulations to them. 31-28, a much-needed victory for the Denver Broncos. So, with that, thank you for listening. I have been Beastchild. You have been the beautiful audience for Monday, October 22nd. Peace! Thank you for listening to TWHOP, the half hour of power with Beastchild. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and if you want to talk back to me, send me an email, beastchild09@gmail.com, or you can visit the almighty website, it's thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com. Remember, if you like the show, tell your friends. If you don't like it, tell your enemies. The TWHOP, the greatest invention since the Apple. This has been a Beastchild Media production for 2007. Peace out! thehalfhourofpower.googlepages.com.